always, always thinking about you. And that's a great thing. It's a great thing to have a pastor that thinks about you at all times. Amen. Okay. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews. It's this month the Lord has spoken to us and he has said to us that it is the end of all storms. It is the end of all storms. And I began to think, the end of all storm, when this kind of words is spoken to us, how do we take it? Do we just shout hallelujah, amen, and get excited? Over what? What exactly is the storm? What are the impact areas of the storm in your life? Because you see, it is when you are able to put a particular situation in context, that is when you are able to attack it in the place of prayer. That is when you are able to measure results when they come. If you can't measure the impact in your life, then we are probably just playing religion and just shouting amen, hallelujah to every storm. What is the storm? The point I'm trying to make tonight is that it's been declared to us that it is the end of, that this month is the end of all storms in our life. But have you ever sit down to consider what exactly is the storm that is raging through my life right now? Because if you have not done that, then basically we're just doing religion. We're just getting excited. But that's not the purpose of the kingdom. That's not the reason we come to church. We come to church for impact. We come to church for to experience change. We come to church to experience increase in every area, spiritual increase and increase in our everyday life. That's why we come to church. Stability, peace. That's why we come to church. The point I'm trying to make tonight is for us to be able to stand and say, indeed, the Lord has given us rest on every side, that the storm is genuinely over, we need to be able to quantify the storm. You see, the hurricane, you know, is a high impact, high speed kind of storm. When the hurricane was going through the Bahamas, it was, well, in fact, they gave it a name. I don't know where they get those names from. I'm still trying to find out where, if anybody knows, I'm curious. I just want to know how they come about these names for hurricanes and things. Sorry? They have list. Where did they get the list from? Okay, please, just come and teach me after this service. I'm just curious to know. So, teach me after this. I don't know. I want to know. But the point I'm trying to make is, they are so specific that they call the storm by name. Not only do they call the storm by name, they will tell you the diameter of the eyes of the storm. They will tell you the width of the impact. That is how specific they can be. The point I'm trying to make tonight is that for us to really experience change, we need to understand what needs to change. We need to understand what needs to change. For us to experience increase, we need to understand what has been stagnant or what has been decreasing in our lives. We need understanding. And my prayer tonight is that God indeed will give us spiritual understanding in the name of Jesus. Let's open to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. And I'll read from verses 8 and 9. It says in verse 8, and this was talking about Jesus. He said, though he was a son, yet he learned. That's a word I would like you to underline. If the Bible you have is yours and it's not borrowed. So underline that word. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. The things he suffered is another thing I want you to underline as well. He suffered. And in verse 9, it says, and having been perfected, again, underline that word, perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all. To all is another word you need to highlight there. So having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Though he was a son, you are a son. That does not exempt you from the issues of life. Life will happen, but the one thing that is certain is that you are a son. You are a son of who? The Son of God. You have to have that understanding. You see, a man who does not know who he is a man who will never be able to address the issues of life. If you don't know who you are, life will cheat you. If you don't know who you are, life will play you. If you don't know who you are, life will shortchange you. So that understanding is very critical that you are a son. And it doesn't matter whether you are a man or a woman. When the Bible is talking about a son, it's talking about identity. It's talking about who you are. You are a son. But that does not exempt you from the challenges of life. Jesus Christ has come to give us rest. He has promised us that we'll overcome. What are we overcoming? If there is no mountain to conquer, if there are no mountains to conquer, if there are no challenges to overcome, what are you overcoming? If somebody says you are an overcomer, it means that you're overcoming something. And what it means is that some things will come your way that will destabilize your momentum in life. But then, you are more than a conqueror. Why? Because he has made you overcomer. Four things I want to point out quickly here. Jesus Christ learned from his sufferings. He learned from his sufferings. What I'm trying to say tonight is that regardless of what the storm of life is, in whatever area of your life, God is trying to teach you something. There's a difference between you being taught and you learning. God wants to teach you something. Whether you learn or not is a matter of responsibility. You can choose to take responsibility and learn, or you can choose to ignore the lesson altogether. But the fact remains that God wants to teach you something. So the Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. He didn't learn obedience by the things, you see, it's nice, it's good when life is all room temperature. No pain point, no pressure points. It's fantastic. But no man grows that way. You will never grow that way. A man that have not been able to overcome adversity can never develop spiritual muscles. You cannot. Because as a matter of fact, the tendency to go into lethargy is very high. Why? Because there are no challenges. There are no spiritual challenges. So challenges are part of life. They are designed to make you strong. The word we say, what doesn't kill you makes you strong. As long as you are not dead, you have a chance. As long as you are not dead, your God is alive and he's with you. You will come out stronger. That is what it's meant to be. You are meant to come out of your sufferings or your storm, the storms of your life, stronger and better. But for a purpose, look at verse 9. It says, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal life. He was perfected by the things that he learned through his sufferings. He was perfected by the things that he learned in the times of adversity. He was perfected by the things that he suffered in effect. That's what I'm saying. Because, you see, when all I's are dotted, all T's are crossed, and there is nothing to worry about, the Lord has given. You remember the story of this man that said, oh, looked at the field, it's full of ripe harvest, and he harvested everything and said, wow, I have so much to eat, I don't even know what to do. So he made a big bang and said, I will store this up, and I have many food to eat for many days. And God said, tonight your soul is required of you. But the point I'm trying to make is that when you are not being challenged, you will never have the opportunity to grow. So challenges is not something we should run away from, but it's something that we should take as another step to a higher level of glory. So every challenge that comes your way is an opportunity for you to step up higher. That is the perspective you should have towards challenges, because the Lord is trying to perfect you. So Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered, and then he was perfected. And because he was perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation. He became a blessing to the whole world. Imagine if he didn't go through the suffering. Imagine if he didn't let himself be perfected by the things that he went through. Imagine that he refused to go to the cross. Imagine that he stopped at the point when he was being flogged and when he was being bruised and when he was being battered. Imagine that he stopped. We will not be here today. You and I will not be here. The eternal purpose would have been defeated. So there is an eternal purpose for every adversity that comes the way of a believer. There is a purpose. And the purpose, you see, the challenge we have is that a lot of times we're very self-absorbed with what we want and our definition of what life should be. But the thing we have to understand about God is that God is not thinking about you alone. God is about people. God is thinking about the 5 billion or 7 billion, I don't know what number we are now, the 7 billion people that we have on the face of the earth, not just you. So when God takes you through an experience, it is so that you can be perfected and become a blessing to the people that will encounter you and the people that will cross your path. Because if you don't have a story to tell a man who is going through adversity by the things that you have experienced, there's no way you can encourage him. I mean, everything is hunky-dory with me. My family is cool. My job is bam. My business is growing. I wouldn't even find a need to pray. And maybe that's why sometimes some of us don't pray with fervency, because everything is just in shape. There is nothing out of order. When things are out of order, you will jump and you will cry. You need to go see people where things are out of order. Where they are praying, one head is touching the knee, and then it goes all the way back to touch the back. Because they feel something. And, you know, a friend of mine was talking to me during the week, and I said, you know, there is always that tendency to go into comatose in this country, spiritual comatose, because everything is in place. Even when you don't have money, you will still eat. You still eat. And so, you know, we can take a lot of things for granted. But there are places where even to sleep, it doesn't matter how big your bed is, even to sleep and wake up the next day without any incident, you have to pray. You have to stand and you have to pray. But we don't have that kind of pressure here. But we have other types of pressure. There is the pressure, the financial pressure is immense. We can be in debt to our neck and think we are living a life. That is not God's desire for us as his children. He said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. He said, you will lend to nations and you will not borrow. So when we are neck deep in debt, we think it's normal. Why? Because the system has made us to understand that it's part of life. The credit system, it's okay, it's good to be, but that is against the scripture. And so that's one kind of storm that we need to fight. So we need to really understand and put all these things in perspective, the areas where we need God to come through for us, because if we don't, then we'll not be able to properly channel our prayers. But what I want to focus on some things tonight. The Bible said that Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things he suffered. You see, one thing that adversity or the storm of life should, and I'm using the word very carefully here, should, because it may not. It should teach you three things. The first thing is you should learn a lot about yourself. In the times of adversity, when the storm of life is raging, that is when you learn a lot about yourself. And when I say learn a lot about yourself, Let's look at James 1:24. James 1:24, it says, "For he observes himself." Do you really observe yourself? "Goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." He says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." He says, you observe yourself, goes away, and immediately forget what kind of man he was. The point the Bible is trying to make here is that we need to observe ourselves. When we find ourselves in a situation, because things don't just happen. Things don't just happen. It could be an attack without, that is, attack from the enemy. But it could also be things that happen to us in life because of the things we have done, decisions that we have made, the steps, the relationship that we have got involved in. God is merciful. He will still deliver us from all these things. But we need to sit down and evaluate ourselves. You need to learn about yourself in the times of adversity. But I don't really want to dwell too much about that tonight. One thing you have to know is that you need to learn about yourself, mirror your life against the word of God, and make adjustments where you need to. The second thing you need to learn is you need to learn about the people around you. Because the people you surround yourself with will either lift you up or bring you down. Especially in the time of adversity. They will either lift you up or bring you down. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it said, Peter was in prison, but the church was making prayers for him constantly. The people around you, you remember the story of Job. Even his wife told him that you just curse God and die. What's all this God you are talking about? You are going through this and your God is alive and you are sure he's alive? You sure this God is not dead? Because that was the question he was asking the husband. Your wife, the church, your friends, your family, are they praying with you? Are they encouraging you with the word of God? Are they giving you the right counsel? You need to be able to learn about the people around you. Because the influence around you, especially when you are very vulnerable, can either lift you up or take you all the way down. So you have to put that one and make sure that you learn as much as you can about the people around you. At least you will know which relationship to cut off and which one to strengthen. Again, I'm not going to go deep into that because these are messages in themselves. But the one thing I want us to the third thing is the one I want to really drill into. You will learn more about God. You will learn about yourself. You will learn about the people around you, but you will learn more about God. And what would you learn about God? You see, if there is no test, there won't be testimonies. Just like Pastor Jeremy would tell us, there is nothing like emonies. There has to be a test preceding the emonies before it becomes testimonies. When you have gone through and you have overcome, the Bible tells us that it says the suffering of this present time is nothing compared to the glory to the eternal glory that shall be revealed in us. There is an eternal purpose for the things we go through in life. You see, the storm of life, they come in different speeds and sizes. I mean, let's look at a few case studies, starting from the great Sarah herself. Sarah was barren for many years. We read these stories; it could be, it looks like a Bible story, but these were people. They had families. There would be family pressure. He was old. She has given up on herself, not to talk of people. Because even when God eventually told her that she was going to be pregnant, she laughed. And God asked her, "Sarah, why are you laughing? Is anything too difficult for me to do?" There is nothing too difficult for God to do. That's the one thing you will learn as you go through the difficult times. You look at people like Joseph. He had a dream. He had a vision. He was excited. He shared it with his brothers. He was always telling his father. At the end of the day, envy and you know other things came into play, and then he found himself a slave. From slavery, he became a prisoner. From a prisoner, he became prime minister. It was a long journey. The end of the matter was exciting, but I can tell you the journey wasn't quite as exciting. But he went through it. He learned something. He learned so much that when eventually he came across his brothers, when he came across his brothers, he had enough capacity to forgive them and understand that every journey that I have taken in life, that everything that has happened to me in life was ordained by God to preserve a nation. We should not lose sight of that. He knew the purpose. He knew it was not just about him becoming the prime minister of Egypt and everybody bowing down to him. He understood that it was for the preservation of the nation of Israel. So everything that happens is for a purpose. You look at Elizabeth, the cousin of the mother of Jesus. Again, she went through difficult period, no child. You look at Jabez. Jabez was a man living with some stigma because of his name. All these things, you know, the Bible has recorded for our learning. But the point I'm trying to make tonight is that the storms of life, they come in different shapes and sizes and speeds. And what you call a storm, or what Mr. A will call his storm, to me may not be a storm. So it's unique. That's why I said you should be able to identify exactly what the pressure point is in your life. Every storm leaves an impact. When after the hurricane has gone through the Bahamas, you go there, the impacts are still there today. What are the areas of your life where the storm have left impact? And I will explain something to you here. You see, in my profession, there is something we call business vision. And this is a digression now. A business vision basically is describing a future state of a process or a system and the features that it will have. It will do A, B, C, it will do this. That's a vision. And so when we're talking about having a vision, sometimes it looks like something massive. A vision is something as simple as you look at one area of your life, my children, they're going to be this, they're going to be that, they're going to be that. That's vision. Now, the reason I'm saying this is that we need to be specific. We need to be focused in the areas where we are believing God that indeed this storm is over. So vision is a very simple thing. All you need to do is look at different areas of your life and write what you want it to be like. That's what it is. And you can't change anything until you understand what needs to be changed. In other words, you need to know where you are to be able to make the changes. And so when God was going to start with Abraham, he took him and said, look, you need to be able to see. What can you see? We need to be able to see. So our focus, our perspective has to be maintained. So tonight, we have to understand that the Lord we serve is bigger than whatever storm that we're going through. That's the first thing you need to learn. The other thing you need to understand is that God knows about the storm. Because a lot of times we cry and we say all manner of things. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? God has not forsaken you. If God has forsaken you, the enemy would have taken you out a long time. The reason you are still able to cry and pray that, Lord, why have you forsaken me, is because the Lord has not allowed the will of the enemy to come to pass in your life. Because left to the enemy, his job is very clear, is to kill, to destroy, and to rob you of every joy possible. But the Lord, your God, is with you. So God knows that you are going through the storm. Because he said, when you go through the waters, it will not overflow you. And when you are going through the fire, it will not kindle over you. Why? Because he is there with you. In Psalm 90, he says, you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and my rod and my staff, they will comfort you. So God knows about the storm. God knows about the storm. The other thing you have to understand that he allowed it for a reason. And I've explained this. I said everything we go through in life, every storm of life is meant to teach us something. It's meant to teach us something so that we can be perfected. It's to perfect us so that we can be a blessing to many. So God knows about the storm. There is nothing that you are going through. If he knows the very number of the hair in your head, then he probably knows where the shoes is, you know, where it's really hurting. He knows everything. A lot of times we think, oh, he has forsaken us that he cannot see. He sees. It's just that it is not time. Because he will do it in his time. So he allowed the storm and he knows your pain. Because he said that he knows the feeling of your infirmities. So God feels our pain. And a lot of time when we feel like, oh, he has abandoned us. No, he's at work. He's doing a work in us. Because we need to be perfected. You know, you can't take gold through through fire that is not properly heated. It will not come out pure. It has to be. The purification process is never pleasant. It's not pleasant for rough diamond, neither is it pleasant for gold. And you are more precious than gold. So you can imagine that it will be tough. But the Bible says that when you have overcome, this was God, this was Jesus telling Peter. So when you have overcome, the word when tells me that it has a time frame. When you have overcome, it has a time frame. So it's not forever. It's for a season. It's for a time. You're going through the tunnel, you're going to come out on the other side, and there will be bright light. So when you have overcome, then strengthen your brethren. When you have overcome. I've been praying. It says, Simon, Satan has chosen you to sift you. He said, but I am praying for you. He said, but when you have overcome, you strengthen your brethren. That's why we have to understand that it's not all about us. When God is blessing you, or God is taking you through a difficult time, or is making you an overcomer in a particular area, it's not just so that you will enter into your rest and buy a bigger house and buy bigger cars. Talking about cars, I saw something today and, you know, it was crazy. I don't know. Somebody sent a video to me and it was somebody's house. And I saw in the house there were about like 6 Rolls Royces. I don't know. Is there plural in Rolls Royce? And then 2 Bentleys and, you know, and you see this kind of, and I just looked at this and I just thought to myself, I says, this is sickness. And sincerely speaking, it is sickness. Because, you see, when we look at sickness, you think it's only people that's in the hospital. Because, hey, folks, what do you do with that? It's sickness. Seriously. And a whole nation can be sick and they will not know. That's just the reality of life. Anyway, that's just by the way. It's just something that happened today and I just thought to myself, my goodness, what's this? But it's what it is. Amen. The Lord will help us and give us understanding. Amen. So it's not about you. It's not about you. It is about people. Let's always understand this. God said to Abraham, he said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. Jesus said to Simon, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to sift you. I have prayed for you, but when you are strengthened, when you have overcome, strengthen your brethren. Everything that God is doing in your life is for somebody else's blessing. Why? Because somebody is going to encounter you. You are going to come across somebody that needs your experience. Somebody is going to need your advice and your counsel at some point. And so God needs to prepare you. Because if you're not prepared, when the opportunity comes, you have nothing to share. you will not be able to encourage, you will not be able to lift anyone up. But that is not God's intention. That's not God's plan. God wants to save the world through you. He said you are a light and you are a salt to the world. There is a preservation. You have to shine before the world, and there is a preservation responsibility that God has given to us. So it is not about us. God knows that he wants to save the world through us, and so it is not always about us. He feels your pain, but then again, he strengthens you through the time, through the difficult time. He gives you the strength. That's why he says, I will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. There are some things I will go through and I will stand. If you go through the same thing, it may break you. That's just the reality of life. Because God has given to each and every one of us a measure of faith. Our faith levels are different. What we can take, our capacity are different. And that is why you can't judge your neighbor by your own standard. Because the capacity that God has given you is not the same as your neighbor's. We're all growing at different levels. But whatever happens, we are all growing in God so that we can show forth his glory. So he will strengthen you through the difficult period. And then the other thing you have to understand that he has determined the end. You may not know it. It may not look like there is an end in sight, but the Lord has determined an end of the adversity. There is a time set. That's why Jesus Christ said that when you have overcome, that is when the time comes and you have gone through this, you have an assignment, you have a ministry in this area. So it is, the end has been determined, and it's been determined in your favor. Do you know how I knew that? Because he said that all things, the good and the bad, all things work together for your good. They work together for your good. It doesn't matter how bad they may look right now, they're working together for your good. Amen? And then he will keep you through the storm. You learn all these things about God. He will see you through the storm. He will keep you through the storm. And then he will calm the storm at the end. And now is the time. Why? Because the Lord has spoken that it is the end of all storm in your life. Amen? Now, how do you position yourself to learn? Because I can tell you, you need to learn this, you need to learn that, how do you really, really position yourself to learn? Number one, you'll have to be prayerful. You have to be prayerful. Prayer is the place where you supplicate before the Lord. Prayer is the place where you stand before the Lord for instruction. Prayer is the place where you stand before the Lord for guidance. What is the next step? What do I do at this junction? Where should I go? Who should I be talking to? Who can help me? Who can guide me in this area? The Lord will point you to the right people, to the right places, in the place of prayer. Because prayer is not just you coming before the Lord and crying and supplicating and making all your list, and then you just walk away. It's a two-way communication. Prayer also includes staying still in the presence of God for guidance in that specific area where you are feeling the pain. Prayer includes listening and waiting. And the waiting may not just be the 30 minutes prayer that you make in one day. The waiting may not be one day. The waiting may not be one week. The waiting can be months. And that is where capacity comes in. Because what you will go through for 1 week and break, another person will go through it, for a month, and it's still just symptom because he's not feeling the pain yet. But we are at different levels, and God knows that. But whatever happens, he's taking you through a journey, and you have to be able to ask him in the place of prayer, Lord, what do you want me to learn in all of this? Lord, how do you want me to use this experience? Lord, when is this going to end? Lord, who can help me in this area? Lord, who is going to guide me? Who is going to teach me? Who is going to enlighten me? Who is going to help me? Who is going to pray with me? Who is going to hold me up in this area? And the Lord will guide you to the right people. Because it's not everybody's prayer that will help you. And I will say it again. It's not everybody's prayer that will help you, because you don't even know who some people are praying to. You don't know. Even the prophets that you go to, you don't know who they are praying to. You don't know where they get their power from. So it may not help you. So it's not just about collecting prayer like we are collecting trophies. That's not what it is. It's about God leading you to the right people to pray with you and to pray for you. So these are the kind of things you seek. Because, you see, when the storm of life comes raging, a man becomes very vulnerable. And people will seek to take advantage of the man. They will take advantage by trying to cash it in on your credit card, and they will do all manner of things. Why? Because you are not seeking the face of the Lord. Because if you are discerning enough, you will know that according to Scripture, prayer is not for sale. Nobody sells prayer in this book of the law. So why should you need to enter your credit card to be prayed for? That is foolhardiness. Amen? And that is not what the Lord expects of us. So we have to be prayerful. We have to be prayerful. The second thing is that we have to stay. You see, these are basic things, but they are the most difficult things to do when you are in the face of the storm. And don't take that one lightly. It's very, very, when you are going through a difficult time, sometimes you lose perspective completely. You can't even sit down to open the book of Genesis, not to talk of referencing something in the book of Revelation. But you need strength, because that exactly is the point the enemy wants to get you to. The enemy wants to get you into a point where you are completely disarmed, and then he can ravage you. So we have to be wise. We have to understand that we need to stay in the place of the world, and the enemy will do everything to ensure that you do not stay in the world, because he will so magnify the issues that all you will see everywhere you turn are the things that you are going through, and the word of God will be the last thing that you will consider. But you have to be able to maintain focus. That is the way overcomers work. That's what differentiates a man who will overcome and a man who will sink in his adversity. We have to be able to stay in the place of the word. We have to be able to stay in the place of the word. Why? Because it is in the place of the word that we get understanding. It is in the place of the word that we receive the wisdom to navigate our way through. Because whatsoever it is that we are going through in life, there is a wisdom of God to overcome in that area. Now, where do you get the wisdom? It is from the word of God. It is from the word of God. So, in difficult times, our appetite for the word should increase. Our appetite for the word should increase. Then the third thing, I'm talking about how you position yourself to learn from, you know, the difficult times, is that you stay committed to your local church. You stay committed to the local church. You see, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says, Peter was in the prison. Peter was bottled up. He was chained down. Peter was arrested. Peter was being prepared, actually, to be killed. But what happened? The Bible says that constantly the church was praying for Peter. The church was praying for Peter. You see, the church, and when I say the church, I'm not talking about stay connected and be coming to this building Monday to Friday. That's not what I mean. That's why we have the Connect group. That's your church. That's your church. You see, where two or more are gathered in the name of the Lord, that's the church. You don't have to come here to have church. The early churches, they didn't have cathedrals. The early churches, they don't even have, they just moved from house to house. That was how they were doing church. And prayer was very effective. So it's not about where you go, it's about the people that gathered, the same people who have been baptized into the body by the same Spirit. And that's why I said, it's not every spirit that is of God. And that's why the Bible tells us that we should test every spirit whether it is of God. So beware of who prays with you and beware of who prays for you. Because not every spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. Not every spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. And the last thing you want is to take in one more strange spirit to the one that are already there. The one is you are trying to get some out and then, you know, it's not a smart way to go about it. Amen? So let's be wise as sons and daughters of the kingdom. Stay connected to your local church. It's very important. Find the right company, the right people, the right, let them pray together with you. Stay connected with your Connect group, your Bible Connect group, and learn and share, because that is the purpose for those small groups. That was how the early churches, they manage the body of Christ. Amen? And then surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with the right people. People are very important. People are very, very important. But we can't, because it may not necessarily, some people just find it, they find comfort in some other company outside of the local church. So I can assume that the only people you know are the people in your local church. Of course you know that people. But whoever they are, make sure that they are people that can encourage you in the faith. Because some people will encourage you, but not in the way of the Lord. And a good way may not be God's way. A good counsel, or so it seems, may not be godly counsel. So you need to be careful where you are getting your counsel from. You need to be careful where you are getting direction from. You need to be careful who you surround yourself with. If you have the wrong company, they will lead you astray. If you hang around with the wrong people, especially in the most vulnerable time, they will lead you to a place of compromise. They will make you compromise. It's as simple as that. And, you know, when you are in that kind of a situation, a brother called me one day, and, he was trying to apply for a job. And, you know, things were really bad, really tight. And he said he met another brother, and, the brother said to him that, looked at the CV and said, we need to do something about this CV. It's not quite up to what will get you something in the marketplace. We need to add some flavors to the CV and, get some abstract experience into the whole thing. And, he told me, I said, that's one way to get into the marketplace. And it may genuinely get you a job. But is that God? Would you say that is from God? No, that was not from God. And whatever is not from God doesn't last. It doesn't last. So there is a way to do things the God way. But there is also a way. And that's why the Bible says that it's a way that seems right unto man. But it is not the way of God. Why? Because it always ends up in pains. It's the way of death. So be mindful of the people that you surround yourself with. The four things I've mentioned. How to create the right environment to learn through the storm so that you can become the perfect. Don't lose the focus. The objective is that God wants to perfect you. For God to perfect you, you need to learn everything that you need to learn. Why? Because that experience is not just for you. That experience is to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters. That experience is to be a blessing to the people that will come across you. That experience is to become a blessing to your generation. And so there is something you need to learn. But for you to be able to do that, you need to create the right environment by ensuring that you're in the place of prayer, by staying connected in the world, by surrounding yourself with the right people, and staying really committed to your local church. Amen. So what you learn in adversity is meant to make you a better person. It's not meant to break you, but rather it's meant to build you up. Amen? And my prayer tonight is that as we rise through the storm and rise into glory,
that indeed our light will shine brighter and better to make a better world. I'll never forget, when I get into this kind of thinking mode, I always remember, Michael Jackson's song, The Man in the Mirror. If you want to make the world a better place, you start by looking at the man in the mirror and making the change to the man. And that man is you. Amen? Let's rise up to our feet tonight. And let's just lift up our voice to God and ask that God will help us to learn the things that we need to learn in the times of adversity, that we may become the blessing that God wants to, that God has made us to the world. Ask for that grace tonight, because if you don't learn, that experience would have been a wasted, would have just been a pain, it would have just been a distraction of in your life. But that's not what it's meant to be. That experience meant to teach you something. What have you learned? How can you learn if you are still in it? But if you have gone through it and you have overcome, are you able to articulate what you have learned? And how can you use it to bless other people that are going through the same challenges? Ask the Lord tonight to enlighten your understanding. Ask the Lord tonight to give you the humility, because indeed you need to be humble to be able to learn. That God will give you the grace to be able to learn what you need to learn in times like this. Because the Lord our God is teaching us. He's teaching us to perfect us. He's perfecting us so that we can be a blessing to the world around us. Father, we thank you, even as I pray today, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm not trying to be anti-May here, and I don't have any strepsis, by the way, so don't worry. Let's just sit down and take some off.